Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. It's another Champions League. I don't even want to say the words coming out of my mouth. I'm so disgusted by what took place yesterday evening in the Camp Nou. A man that was there enjoying that magnificent Barca performance was Goal.com's very own Ben Hayward. He's joining us on the line now from Spain. Ben, go easy on me, mate. It's been a tough 24 hours or so, but that was pretty something special in the Camp Nou yesterday evening.
Yeah, I can understand that, Ollie, for sure. But it was something special from Barcelona. I mean, we've been talking about their need to produce a reaction, and last night they produced it, didn't they? They were back to their best, and they were emphatic.
What was it like before the game in the ground? Was there an air of tension? Were people feeling worried at all?
Definitely. There was a lot of tension. There was never tension, even throughout the game. The atmosphere was fantastic. Obviously, they got that early goal, and that's what they needed. I mean, from saying all week, you know, score an early goal and anything's possible. And so that was a big, big boost. But then, you know, it was 1-0 for a while until just before halftime. And, you know, fans were getting a little bit anxious, so to say, a little bit nervous. And even at 3-0, you know, there was plenty of nervous tension in the air because a goal for Milan, as you well know, and that put them through. And there was a bit of last-ditch defending, before the end, before that goal from Jordi Alba. So until the fourth goal went in, nobody was really relaxed in the stadium.
Did you get the feeling that the players almost enjoyed this because of all the build-up of tension, and that because of all the criticism that Barca have had over the last few weeks with the losses to Madrid, this was a way of really showing people that this Barca can still play at its best?
I think so. I think that's definitely true. I mean, we saw the defeat in Milan, the two Clasico defeats as well, which were a little bit of a surprise. And, you know, we'd also expected Barcelona to react in one of those matches, and it didn't happen. But, you know, these are great, great players. They've been there and done it, and they've won it. They've won so many trophies. I think they've believed in the ability to come back against Milan ever since that first leg. And I think last night will have been a really happy night because they went out and they proved themselves, you know. I mean, that's why Guardiola always used to tell his players, you know, you're kind of only as good as your last game. And that's proven, you know. Everything they've won, everything they've done over the last few years, they had to go out last night and prove it, and they did that. I think they'd be very happy about that.
There was a lot of talk about the history of this Barca side being made yesterday evening, potentially, how they've done nothing extremely special or historic until maybe coming back from against AC Milan last night. Do you agree with that? Do you buy that? And do you think this is now a stamp of approval on this Barca side as it's one for the ages?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see. I mean, we'll see what they go on to achieve. Certainly in La Liga, they've got a big advantage. And in the Champions League, you know, showing the ability now to come back against a team that made things very difficult for them. And I think that will be very satisfying for them, especially after, you know, similar Champions League defeats against Inter and against Chelsea, you know, in recent years. They've obviously learned from those experiences. And now, nobody's going to want to face Barcelona in the rest of the competition. I don't know if you've made them favourites, but certainly they're up there. And I think, yeah, it's going to define an era, like many people have said. I mean, perhaps they'd need to go on and win another Champions League. But last night was a big boost for sure.
What about the starting role for David Villa last night, Ben? Were you surprised they picked Villa in that one? A lot of people said they missed that out-and-out striker in the San Siro.
Definitely. No, I wasn't surprised. I think it's been coming for a while. And what was really surprising is that it's taken this long for Roda and for Peter to really put Villa in the team in a big match like that. You know, we saw it at San Siro. You know, Messi didn't have any space. He was dropping deep. He had nobody ahead of him to find. Was stifled quite easily, in fact, by Milan in that game. And we saw the same thing against Madrid in the two Clasico games. The fans and press and pretty much everyone have been crying out for Villa to start. And, you know, they actually tried it in a game against Sevilla, and it worked well, with Messi playing just off Villa, just off of, you know, Villa as a starting striker. And then they didn't go back to that plan. But I think that was perhaps with Milan in mind, with the turn game in mind. And it gave the Milan defence much more to think about, and you know, Fields dragging away McPherson and Messi just had that space to score those first two goals. And so I think it was a good decision and the right decision, and I think it's something we're going to see a lot more of in the rest of the competition.
Do you think we're likely to see David Villa leaving still, though, at the end of this season? How big a loss would that be to have finally got him back working with this squad potentially and then seeing him leave in the summer?
Well, it will be a loss. It will be a loss if he leaves. The thing is, he's at an age now, he's 31, he's at an age where he wants first team football. He's going to want to be in the team. Yesterday was great, and he's clearly delighted, and it's a special day for him and for the rest of the team. If he's back on the bench, you know, week in, week out, you can see him probably moving on in the summer. So Barcelona have something really to think about here, because, you know, they let Ibrahimovic go because he wasn't really compatible with Messi. Signed David Villa for big money. If he leaves too, what do they do next? I mean, you need a striker to obviously give you that alternative. But the players of that calibre are not going to be happy sat on the bench for 30 games a season. So I think that's something that Barcelona has to give a lot of thought to before they, A, let Villa leave, and B, decide someone else.
Another big name that was on the bench last night, along with Fabregas, was Puyol. Came on in the last few minutes almost as kind of a bit of a defensive holding player and a bit of a hoorah for him as well in the big game. But do you prefer having Mascherano or Song alongside Piqué instead of Puyol at the moment?
I think he's fallen his steps a little bit. He's obviously, he's not playing pretty good if he used to be able to play. That was pretty much a three-man defence, wasn't it? Now there's some forward, a fourth forward there. I think perhaps they went for the extra legs of PK and Mascherano and Alba, knowing that perhaps they might be stretched if Milan, attack them on the break.
Ben, I've got to ask you about this. Has there been any mention at all in Spain of Messi's second goal being a yard offside or so?
Not that I've seen, actually, but there probably is. It depends which media you're reading, but everybody seems pretty euphoric at the moment about Barcelona's victory. But I haven't actually seen that anywhere, but I'm sure that's been touched upon.
I'm sure it's been swept under the carpet as we speak. Malaga playing tonight, Ben. Malaga against Porto, the experienced Porto against the inexperienced Malaga side in the Champions League. What do you give their chances of pulling one over the Portuguese side's eyes tonight?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I watched the first game and Porto were far superior in that match. They only got the single goal. Perhaps they would have thought that their domination warranted, a bigger scoreline. Now Malaga are actually quite defensive in that game. It surprised me, but they're in with a chance. It's only one goal. And, they're a bit of an unknown quantity still in Europe, aren't they? But they've had good results in the group stage, and they need to reproduce that form at home. But I was very impressed with Porto in that first game. So I think it's wide open. I really really wouldn't like to say, but that's a Malaga at home. They'll come out and they'll play football, and with the players they have, like Savisco, they can, Joaquin, they can really cause Porto problems. But I think that one's pretty much 50-50.
Do you expect Malaga to kind of go hell for leather straight from the get-go, like we saw Barca going straight at the throat of AC Milan last night?
I don't. I mean, I think they have to exercise some caution, because obviously it's only 1-0 at the moment, but if Porto score again, that's an away goal, and then Malaga would need to score three. So I think they have to be careful. I think obviously they're at home, they're obliged to come out and play, come out on attack, but I think they're going to exercise some caution as well.
I mean, we know how good Malaga can be going forward with the likes of Joaquim, Isco and Lucas Paizan, who's done reasonably well with them so far, coming in on loan from Chelsea. Do you think this back four, though, is good enough to withstand Rodriguez, Varela and Martinez coming forward?
I don't know. I've been impressed with them defensively. I mean, they've the performance of this season. I feel certainly it's an area of the team which could be strengthened, and I don't know if we're going to see that because obviously they've got this Europe plan now hanging over them for next season. You know, if they can overturn that plan, perhaps they'll keep the best players and be able to strengthen as well. As things stand, it's probably the weakest area of their team. But, you know, at home, if they have the ball and, you know, defend well, I fancy them to maybe keep a clean sheet as well. I mean, we've seen them do that against big teams this season. And there's no reason why they won't be able to do that against Malaga.
And just finally, Ben, there is, of course, another Spanish side in European action this week. Levante going away to Rubin Kazan after that 0-0 draw at home. Do you give Levante a chance? This has been one of these things where their European form has been great, but their league form has been poor. Is it going to catch up with them at some point?
You would think so. I mean, it's very tough, isn't it? Rubin Kazan, obviously, not that Atletico Madrid, and, you know, we've seen the form that Atletico have been in this season. All right, Atletico didn't play with the strongest sides in the games, but still, that was quite a scalp for Rubin Kazan. With Levante, I mean, it's quite an adventure, isn't it, playing in Europe? They've done exceptionally well so far, as you say. So, you know, they're going to want to carry that on. But you'd have to say that Rubin Kazan would be favourite to get through that fight.
Have there been any sniffs at all at this Oberfabi Martins move going to Seattle anytime soon? There's been a lot of talk about it in the US.
Yeah, I don't have any information on that. But yeah, I mean, Levante, over the last kind of 2 or 3 years, they have this policy of bringing in players, and then if a good offer comes in, then they move on. So don't be surprised to see that one happen. The money's right.
How big is that a loss to Levante, losing someone like Oberfabi Martins, who's been impressive over the last 12 months or so?
Yes, definitely it's a blow. But we've seen with Levante, you know, the similar players have come and gone over the last kind of 2 or 3 years, and they just they've got, you know, a very good scouting system, and they seem to get players in on the cheap, and usually they've done well, and you know, they're a very tight budget, almost don't sign anyone for any money, and yet they still continue to do well. So I think certainly it'll be a blow, but I expect them to be alright, because I think they'll just scale the market and they'll be able to find somebody else.
Ben, I hope you enjoyed your evening at the Nou Camp last night, mate. I think we were all very jealous to see the pictures you put up of it looking absolutely fantastic. It's a shame about the result, but thanks for taking it easy on us, mate. And we look forward to getting you back on the show next time.
Yeah, it's always, I certainly feel privileged to have been there on a special night like that. This is, you know, quite historic. You know, as really like Xavi was saying in the lead up to this match. This team, the only thing that was missing, really, you know, they've won all these titles, the only thing really missing was a great kind of comeback. And they got that now, so that was for sure.
You might have witnessed the defining moment of this Barca side, Ben. That's pretty lucky thing that anybody can say, mate. Congratulations on getting yourself in that ground, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon, mate.
Yes, thanks a lot.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for joining us, mate. Ben Hayward there of Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Spanish football, talking about, of course, Barcelona's magnificent win. It is really hard for me to say that, but that magnificent win in the Nou Camp last night against AC Milan, trouncing them 4-0, Jordi Alba's goal wrapping up what was an emphatic night for the Catalan Giants. A Barca back. We and Raf have already been talking about that. Have your say. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, and of course 310-909-8483. We're going to take a very quick break here on the show. When we return, we're going to be wrapping up some of the previews to tonight's games in the Champions League. Malaga taking on Porto. You've heard Ben's thoughts. Now hear what Raf and myself have to say. And of course, another look at the Seattle Sounders win last night against Tigres. We'll be back in just a moment.